بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بني الإسلام على خمس شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله وإقامة الصلاة وصوم رمضان وإيتاء الزكاة وحج البيت أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected brothers and elders, recited one verse of the Quran and one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the khutbah. The reason why I mention these one verse of the Quran and one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to show us the obligation of fasting in the month of Ramadan. I spoke on this topic in my Jummah khutbah for 2-3 weeks, but since many of you were not present, some of you were present, inshallah, I'll just repeat a few points that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Allah ta'ala says that, O who you believe, we have made fasting compulsory upon you just as it was made compulsory upon the people before you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, He says that we have made fasting in the month of Ramadan compulsory upon you. So we learn that fasting in the month of Ramadan is an obligation. It is compulsory upon three categories of people, or a person who has three things in himself. Number one, he's a Muslim and he is baligh. He has reached the age of puberty. He is mature. And number three, he is sane. He's not insane. If a person has these three qualities, then fasting in the month of Ramadan is fard and compulsory upon him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates this hadith that Buniya al-Islamu ala khamsin, that Islam is based on five pillars. Islam is based on five pillars. There are five fundamentals of Islam. Number one, shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anna muhammadan rasulullah. That to believe in Allah, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a true messenger of Allah. He's the true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first pillar. Number two, wa iqamis salah, and to establish salah, and wa ita'iz zakah, to discharge one's zakah. وَصَوْمِ رَمَضَانِ and to fast in the month of Ramadan. To fast in the month of Ramadan. From this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again we learn that fasting in the month of Ramadan is an obligation, it is compulsory. So that's the first thing we learn. To deny the obligation of fasting is kufr, is disbelief. You have a person who does not fast in the month of Ramadan, he will be called fasiq. He's a sinful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he does not deny the obligation of fasting. He knows that fasting in the month of Ramadan is compulsory. But due to his laziness or due to his ghafla, neglectful, unmindful of the hereafter, he's not fasting in the month of Ramadan. So he won't be called kafir, he won't be called a disbeliever. He's a fasiq, he's a sinful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you have a person who does not believe in the obligation of fasting in the month of Ramadan, then this person, he is not only a sinner, he is a kafir, he is a disbeliever. He is the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allama Shami rahimahullahu ta'ala, he writes in his fatawa that the person who openly eats in front of other people, he is expressing this, that I do not believe in the fasting in the month of Ramadan. that such person should be killed. He should be executed. Fasting in the month of Ramadan. Number one, one of the main thing we need to know about fasting is intention, niyyah. There are two fara'id of fasting. Number one, there are two conditions of fasting. Number one, niyyah, intention. One needs to make intention in order for his fast to be valid. Now this intention of the fast which you keep in the month of Ramadan, you're supposed to make this intention before Subha Sadiq. Before Subha Sadiq. Before dawn. Before true dawn. There are two types of dawn, two types of Subah. Subha Kadhib, Subha Sadiq. There are two. First is Subha Kadhib, that you see a light on the horizon which is vertical, and then you see light which is horizontal, which is called twilight. This is what Subha Sadiq is. So Subha Sadiq, you're supposed to make niyyah before Subha Sadiq. If one forgets to make niyyah before Subha Sadiq, then he has a chance to make intention of that day's fast before midday. Before midday. So you look at the time of Subha Sadiq and sunset, and you split two in half. Whatever the time is, it's approximately 1 hour before Dhuhr Salah. You're supposed to make intention before that time. If you're able to do this, then inshallah your fast is valid. If you fail to do that, then your fast will be invalid. Now, what is intention? Does intention mean that you say something with your tongue? No, that's not what intention is. Yes, that is part of intention. If a person merely thinks with his heart and mind that I'm fasting today, this is his niyyah. This is with everything. Whenever Sharia tells you to make intention and niyyah, you don't always have to say with your tongue. You can only think with your heart and mind that you're going to do this. This is your intention. An-niyyatu fi'lul qalb. An-niyyatu fi'lul qalb. Nurul idha. The ibarat is there. That niyyah, intention, is an action of heart. Action of heart. But if a person also says it with his tongue, it is better. Like how the fuqaha have mentioned that when you make intention before praying salah, you should think in your heart and also say with your tongue. This will help you concentrate more in salah. This will bring more khushu and khudu. So this is with everything. This is with everything, you should make intention. So if a person does not say verbally and he does not think with his heart and mind, but he wakes up for suhoor, this is also intention. Because why did he wake up for suhoor? Because he was intending to fast. So this is his intention. He doesn't have to say with his tongue. But if a person prays the dua, بِصَوْمِ غَدٍ نَوَيْتُ, this is niyyah as well. Alhamdulillah. So this is what intention is. So we need to keep these points in mind. Another thing we should remember with regards to niyyah and intention is that for each fast, we need to make separate niyyah and intention. You cannot make intention beginning of Ramadan, then inshallah I'm going to fast 30 days. This is not sufficient for the entire month of Ramadan. Each day you will have to make intention that tomorrow I'm going to fast, tomorrow I'm going to fast, tomorrow I'm going to fast every single day. Inshallah, then your fasting in the month of Ramadan will be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person fasts without the intention to fast, then the fasting is not valid, even if he abstains from food, drink, and sexual gratification. A person only needs to make a general intention for a fast of Ramadan. If a person intends to fast a different fast in the month of Ramadan, then the different fast will not be valid, and it will be considered to be the fast of Ramadan. This is according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, that in the month of Ramadan, you make intention for any other fast. For example, you make intention that tomorrow I'm going to keep nafil fast, optional fast. Next day you keep a fast, this will be considered as your Ramadan and your compulsory fast, not your nafil and optional fast. Or you make intention that I made a vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if I pass in my examination And if I get good grades in my school, in my madrasa, inshallah, I'm going to fast for 10 days. And a month of Ramadan comes, and he makes intention in the month of Ramadan that I'm keeping those fasts for the vow which I made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This fasting in the month of Ramadan will not be considered for the fasting of the vow which he took from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, this will be considered a fasting of Ramadan. This is according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala. According to the other fuqaha, we all know that there are four famous fuqaha. Number one, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, Imam Malik rahimahullah, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. We should keep this in mind that it's not only four fuqaha, there is not only four imams, there are many imams. But these are four famous imams whose fiqh is prevalent at this time in the world. There were other fuqaha as well, the students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Imam Abu Yusuf, and Imam Muhammad rahimahullah ta'ala, two great students, Imam Zufar rahimahullah ta'ala. We pray their aqwal and their views in the books of jurisprudence, in the fiqh books, right? And also, there are many students of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, and also Imam Malik rahimahullah. So there were many fuqaha, but these were the four famous fuqaha. So according to Imam Abu Hanifa, this is the mas'ala. But according to other three fuqaha, if you intend to fast in the month of Ramadan, you will have to make intention specifically to fast in the month of Ramadan, that I'm going to fast for the month of Ramadan tomorrow. Then only your fast will be valid. Otherwise, your fast will not be valid. You will be fasting for the intention which you made. And you will have to make qaza of this fast later on. And in some circumstances, you will also have to do kafara. So we should keep this in mind. The time for making the intention is from the sunset of the preceding day to the midday of the day one intends to fast. This is for the month of Ramadan. If you're fasting, if it's a fast for the vow which you took from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are two types of vow which you take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is mu'allaq, that you specifically mention that if I pass in my examination, if I pass my driving test, anything, or if I get a good grade in madrasa, or if I succeed in so and so task, if I achieve my goal, then I will fast 10 days, or first 10 days of Muharram, for example. Now this is nadr-e mu'allaq. You will have to fast for those 10 days. You cannot fast any other day. This is called nadr-e mu'allaq. And the other one is that you don't mention that I'm going to fast in these days. You just say that I'll fast for 10 days. Now these 10 days can be any time during the year. So there are two types of vow. So now if a person intends to fast for the vow which, when he specifically mentioned the days, that I'm going to fast for first 10 days of Muharram, you don't have to make intention from the previous day. You don't have to make intention. But if you don't mention the days, that these are the days when I'm going to fast, then it is compulsory, must, that you make intention on the previous day or before Subha Sadiq. If you don't, then your fast will be invalid. So this is intention. The second condition of fasting is to be free from hayd and nifas. This is related to women folk. The fara'id of fasting. Two fara'id. Number one, to abstain from eating and drinking. We all know that you can't drink, you can't eat, you can't drink while you're fasting. This is fard. Number two, to abstain from sexual gratification. You cannot have any relationship with your wife, with your spouse. If you do that, then you'll break your fast and you'll have to do qada and you also have to do kafara, both. Now we'll come to inshallah kafara, what kafara is. Inshallah, when you hear what kafara is, next time you will never break your fast. Now, before we discuss the things for which we have to do kafara, qada is that you just keep one fast outside Ramadan. So you miss one fast because you were sick. You don't have to give kafara. You just do one qada. Meaning after Ramadan finishes, that you just keep one more fast. And this is what qada is. And kafara is that you will have to fast for consecutively 60 days. You cannot miss any day. If you miss one day in the middle, then you go back to number one again, and then you start. For 60 days, you will have to fast if you miss one day. So intentionally, if somebody does not fast in the month of Ramadan, you will have to make qada and also kafara. Qada and kafara. You will have to fast for 60 days. For 60 days. If somebody was fasting intentionally and willingly, he ate something, he drank something, he broke his fast, you will have to do kafara outside Ramadan for 2 months. 60 days you will have to fast consecutively. If you break your fast, cohabiting with your wife, having relationship with your spouse, again you will have to do qada and also kafara. 60 days. And you will have to make sure that you don't start your 60 days, that in between these 60 days, the 5 prohibited days come. There are 5 days in the Islamic year when it is prohibited to fast. 2 days of Eid, Eid al-Fitr, the day after the month of Ramadan, and Eid al-Adha, when people do Qurbani, and 3 days after Eid al-Adha, which are known as Ayyam al-Tashriq, when we pray Takbirat. So you have to make sure that these days don't come in the middle. Otherwise, you'll have to start all over again. So this is the first step of kafara. If somebody is unable to fast for 60 days, and I'm sure all of us sitting here, we can fast for 60 days. So we don't have the excuse of not fasting for 60 days. This is for the people who are extremely old, plus 60, plus 70. Okay, people who cannot fast for 60 days, for them there is a second choice that they can feed the poor people. For either you call one poor person and you feed him 2 times a day for 60 days. You call one person, you feed him 2 times a day for 60 days. Or you call 60 poor people and you feed them 2 times in one day. Works out same, right? So this is the second option of kafara. Now, that which invalidates the fast and requires kafara. Number one, to carry out the 2 acts which break the fast, as mentioned in the previous slide, intentionally, willingly, without being forced, and without a mistake in a normal manner, which fulfills one's carnal desire or fulfills the purpose of the actions. The meaning of it is to have intercourse intentionally, willingly, and without mistake in... So we all understand what that is. To have intercourse. Number two, to intake, meaning to eat or drink through the mouth intentionally, willingly. This will also require kafara. So these are the two things. And we also learn things about kafara as well. So I mentioned the second option to you of kafara. You're supposed to feed the poor people. You either feed one poor person for 60 days, or you call 60 people and you feed in one day 2 times a day. Now there is one more option, to give one adult poor person grain or value of grain equivalent to sadaqah al-fitr separately on each day for 60 days. You'll have to give this amount every single day for how many days? 60 days. If somebody, he says that I'm going to give everything in one day, this is invalid. You can't do this. You have to give separately for 60 days. Each day you give one portion of Sadaqatul Fitr. That is approximately $5 to $7. $5 to $7. If you give this much, then inshallah, your kafara will be valid. And one more thing we need to remember with regards to kafara is that because kafara is wajib, is compulsory, any compulsory charity cannot be given to any non-Muslim. You can only give compulsory charity to Muslims. For example, zakat. Zakat cannot be given to non-Muslim. Can only give it to Muslims. Similarly, any wajib, you made a vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you pass, you're going to spend this much in the path of Allah, then this is wajib upon you. It's compulsory upon you. You cannot give it to non-Muslims. You have to give it to Muslims. Similarly, kafara. You can only give it to Muslims. You cannot give it to non-Muslims. If someone requests another to pay the kafara on his behalf, then the kafara will be valid. But if the other person pays it without being asked by the one who broke the fast, then the kafara will not be valid. So you can make someone your representative and he can do kafara on your behalf. So if you're weak, you cannot fast for 60 days, maybe you'll have your friend, and I'm sure nobody will take that responsibility. But if you do find a friend like that, then and he takes the responsibility with through your permission, then inshallah this is valid and your kafara, you'll be absolved from your kafara. Inshallah. If someone breaks several fasts in one Ramadan, so if you happen to fast more than one fast in one Ramadan, then you only have to give one kafara. That doesn't mean that you break one fast and you think to yourself that, oh, I already broke one fast, I might as well just keep breaking all the fasts now till the end. No, because you get a lot of sin. Like I mentioned, it's an obligation, right? It's an obligation to fast in the month of Ramadan. You cannot do that. You're fooling yourself by doing that if you do that. So if someone breaks several fasts in one Ramadan, then one kafara will suffice for all the broken fasts. But if one breaks two fasts in two different Ramadans, then two kafaras will be required. What do we learn from this? That you do kafara for each Ramadan. So you break one fast in one Ramadan, one kafara. You break another fast in second Ramadan, two kafara. Third, three kafara. Fourth Ramadan, four kafara. Fifth Ramadan, five kafara. So you'll have to fast for entire year if you do that. Okay, so this is the mas'ala. And kafara is not required for breaking a qadha fast of Ramadan. So you, for some reason you were sick, you were ill, or for any other reason you weren't able to fast in the month of Ramadan. For example, you were traveling. Then a person who's traveling 77 kilometers or more, he is allowed to leave his fast. Even though fasting is better. فَمَن تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرُ اللَّهِ. The person, if he does tatawwu', meaning he goes out of his way and he fasts despite him being sick or he's in a state of traveling, this is better for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. But if a person has a fear that if I fast long hours, because sometimes you're traveling, and if you're traveling from west to, if you're traveling from east to west, the hours become longer. You all prayed time zone, right? There are how many time zones? Nobody knows. 24 time zones, right? So it starts from west to east. So Canada's all the way in the west, right? So as you go up, the hour goes 1 hour ahead every time zone. 1 hour, 1 hour. So there are 24 time zones. So if you're traveling from east to west, then your hour, your fast becomes very, very long. Sometimes it could become 25 hours, 30 hours as well. So if it's something like that, that your fast is 25 to 30 hours long, and there is a fear that if you avoid eating and drinking, then you may fall sick, or you become extremely weak and you will have to break your fast, in this case, it's better not to fast. Instead of keeping a fast and breaking it later on, don't keep a fast. But if you have the strength and power, you have full confidence upon yourself, and you have full yaqeen, and inshallah, I'll be able to handle it, then you should keep a fast. Inshallah, this is better for you. You'll be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immensely. So this is while you're traveling. But if somebody starts his journey after Subh Sadiq, he's not allowed to leave his fast. He'll have to keep his fast. Yes, he will have an option. That if he thinks that his journey will be long and he will not be able to bear this, then once he starts his journey and he goes outside the boundary of the city where he lives in, for example, we live in Toronto, and you exceed the boundary of Toronto, then you're allowed to break your fast. Then you're allowed to break your fast. But if you are traveling before, after Subh Sadiq, if you're traveling before Subh Sadiq, then you don't have to fast and you can travel without fasting. But if you're traveling after Subh Sadiq, then you will have to fast. You'll have to start your fast and then you can break it up later on. Khair. So this is with regards to traveling. There are a few things which invalidates the fast but does not require kafara. Inshallah, I'll be very quick. There are some things which invalidates the fast but does not require kafara. You just have to make qada. I'll just quickly go through it, inshallah. Number one, performing actions which break the fast but unwillingly, unintentionally, or by mistake. Meaning, for example, you're fasting, you're making wudu, and you know that you cannot drink, you cannot eat anything. Right? You're making wudu, you're gargling your mouth, water goes inside your throat. You knew you were fasting, you were trying to avoid it, but still water went inside your throat. Now your fast will break, but there will be no kafara, you'll only have to make qaza of this. This is the first point. Number two, eating something not considered to be food or that which does not have nutritional or medical value. So something which is not considered to be food, something which doesn't have any nutrition, then if you eat something like that, then you break will fast, but you won't have to do any kafara. You only have to do one qada. Intentionally vomiting a mouthful. So if you intentionally vomit mouthful, then you will have to make qada. What does that tell us? That if you vomit just a little bit, then you don't even have to make qada. Your fast is valid. It's not invalid. But if you vomit full mouth, how would you know if you vomit full mouth or not? Because you're not going to measure it in a cup, right? How would you know that you just vomited full mouth? If a person is not able to withhold his vomit, that means this is a full mouth. And if he's able to do that and just a little bit comes out, then this is not full mouth. His fast is valid and he does not have to make qada of this. Intentionally swallowing vomit, even if it's a little bit, intentionally. If it's unintentionally, then you don't have to make qada. Swallowing blood from bleeding gums. So you're bleeding in your mouth and your blood is equal to your saliva or it's more than your saliva, then, and you swallow that, then your fast will break. And you will have to make qada of this, no kafara. That brings us to, there are so many things coming to my mind. Because this is these masail, they're only basic. The things that we face nowadays, we don't have time to go into detail. Inshallah, some other time, inshallah, we'll discuss everything. Because many people have many questions. For example, if you do miswak, something goes in, does my fast break or not? If I swallow my saliva, does my fast break or not? Right? So many other things. So many other questions, but inshallah some other time. Because it's already half an hour. Experiencing insanity. So you were fasting, you became insane, may Allah forbid. Then your fast will break and you will have to make qada, inshallah. Experiencing hayd or nifas, this is for the women folk. Things which does not invalidate the fast. Breaking the fast forgetfully, swallowing food less the size of a chickpea, which is stuck between the teeth and dislodged using the tongue. If you swallow that, then your fast will not break, you will not break, inshallah. Making intention to break the fast. This will not break your fast. You just made intention. Unless you don't break your fast, inshallah, your fast will be valid. And if dust, mosquito, or flies unintentionally enters the throat, then your fast is valid. If you swallow this intentionally, then your fast will be invalid. Swallowing saliva or nasal mucus, which is sniffed down the throat. This is the question many people have. This does not invalidate the fast. Vomiting unintentionally, even if it's a lot, and unintentionally vomiting less than a mouthful, again, this will not invalidate the fast. The sunan of fasting, suhoor, everybody should make a point to do suhoor. Many of us, we lack in this. It's a great sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith that the difference between the fasting of a Muslim and a fasting of a non-Muslim is that Muslims, they eat the pre-dawn food, the suhoor, and the non-Muslims, they don't eat suhoor. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that you should make suhoor because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a lot of barakah in suhoor. So we should make a point to do sahih and suhoor. Inshallah, this is from amongst the sunan of fasting. Number two, to delay the suhoor to just before Subha Sadiq, meaning you should eat in last 20 minutes. The elders, they say, you should eat in last 20 minutes, not last 45 minutes. Last 20 minutes. This is sunnah. Number three, to be quick in breaking the fast, but one must be absolutely certain that the sun has set. So when you're breaking your fast at home, you have to make sure that it is time. Because if you don't, even if you break your fast few seconds before sunset, then your fast is invalid and you will have to make qada of this. And last but not least, to make the intention for fasting the next day before going to sleep. We already discussed this, that you have to make intention before Subha Sadiq. The makruhat of fasting, to taste something unnecessarily, chewing something unnecessarily, and gathering the saliva in the mouth and swallowing this is makruh. If you just swallow it unintentionally without gathering it, it's not even makruh. Any act which one believes might weaken one's body from fasting, this is makruh. I mentioned this in my Friday khutbah. When we go to play and we become extremely weak, this will make your fasting makruh. Similarly, you give blood, right? You go for blood test. Doctor takes out 4 bottles of your blood from your body. Of course, your body will become extremely weak. So it's makruh. But if you're fit, healthy, strong, inshallah, no problem. It's not makruh. So any act which one believes might weaken one's body from fasting, this is from the makruhat of fasting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding of all the masail, of all the obligations of Islam. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله